This is the most unusual place for me. As most people here know, I like to roam the confines of our sanctuary, but obeying some words of wisdom from someone very close to me, I'm sinning for this. Even though I don't like it, I'm sinning. God's word for us this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah at the 53rd chapter. And if you open up the scriptures and read the 52nd and 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you get a picture of Jesus Christ. And so we can see that prophets have told of Jesus and what was going to happen to him. So reading from chapter 53, verses 10 through 12. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall eat, see, and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, his servant, make many for becoming righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. Many times in our lives, we go out and we go to stores and we buy items. Can be a radio, can be a stereo, can be a lawnmower, can be a snowblower, can be any kind of thing. And when you get to the counter, the teller or the clerk would say, do you want to have another year warranty on that item? Do you want to be guaranteed that it will work? Isn't that to our surprise? But that's what happens when we go out to buy certain items. They always ask if we want a warranty. Why, isn't this good enough? Isn't this going to last a long time? We thought so on our refrigerator freezer that we bought when we moved into our house in 605 North High Street in Lake City. And we moved in there in May of 2011. And in September of 2013, just two short years later, we had trouble with the condenser of that refrigerator. And Karen said to the guy, don't you make things that last long? Didn't have any answer. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something today. You've got something that lasts long. And we are here to celebrate that. Because Jesus stands at the empty tomb. And he says to us that our salvation is guaranteed in him. It is assured to us. And as we come up to the communion rail and we receive his body given and his blood shed for us, we are assured of that great treasure, that great gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins that God has for us in the risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I get to tell you about Jesus. That makes me just so glorious, so joyous, so happy. You know, I belong to Rotary, Lake City Rotary. We have this thing every time we meet. Okay, we're going to tell each other what we're happy about today. And we throw a buck into the pot each time we say we're happy. We're happy for the sunshine. We're happy for this. We're happy for the Minnesota Wild winning another game. We're happy that any team that played the Green Bay Packers won. We're happy. Today, we're happy. We're joyous. because Jesus rose from the dead. And he rose for us because we aren't living very satisfactory lives, are we? Because of Adam and Eve in the garden, when they fell, when they disobeyed God, they threw a shroud over all of us. And the Apostle Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. And there's not one person in this room that's going to live for all eternity on this earth. We're going to die. It used to be said also, I read someplace, that the person with the most toys also dies. I want you to think about this. The person with the most authority in the world is going to die too. But what joyous news Jesus has for us. As the disciples were in the upper room and he was preparing them for his crucifixion, he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you, that when I come back, I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except through faith, except through the knowledge of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. He gives us that glorious, glorious statement. Because he also knows that in God's word, in the 5th chapter of St. Matthew, Jesus himself said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God has put the standard up here. And when I taught confirmation years ago, I would tell the kids, I says, okay, how high does the person know how to high jump? Oh, 7 feet, 7 feet, one. I said, God pushes the standard up to 8 feet. And he knows that we can't accomplish that. So he's given us the ability to leap over that high bar in Jesus Christ, him crucified and living for all of us. Jesus, this is a great day for him. It's a great day for all of us to know that Jesus died on the cross, that he suffered so much before that, and suffered so much while he was hanging there. When I went through a class, well, actually it was, when I went through Anoka Vocational School for respiratory therapy, I had an instructor who said he had an instructor as he was preparing to accomplish that class years before, who said, you know, Jesus died of suffocation. He said, stand up, walk to the wall, put your back to the wall, stretch out your hands on that wall, and try to take a breath. It is very difficult to try to catch a breath. Now imagine Jesus' hands being nailed to the cross, his feet being nailed to the cross in such a way that he wouldn't have anything to support the body. And Jesus suffocated on that cross, a very horrible, horrendous, suffocating death for you, to save you from your sins, to give you life everlasting and forgiveness of sins. And the other fact, you know, if God the Father wanted Jesus down from the cross, all he'd have to do is cut the nails himself. He was that powerful. But he didn't do it, because his Son had to die for us, to give us life everlasting and forgiveness of sins. And that's the message we get to tell people. I've got a dear friend in Iowa. A dear friend who confesses before he starts, you know, I was a banker at one time and people wouldn't even believe me when I would tell this to them. And he would begin to tell the story of Jesus. And he would also tell us a dark world that we are living in. That we are living in a very, very, very dark world. A dark world that doesn't know Jesus. A dark world that only knows themselves. A dark world that thinks that they can have everything and nothing will happen to them. They won't suffer. They won't see death. That's so far from the truth. We know that we're going to die. We know that sometime we're going to die. But knowing Jesus Christ and confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, we know that we have eternal life in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son into death, so that all who believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you look at that verse, I want you to take world out of there, and I want you to replace it with your own name. The name that God has given you. The name that is above all names. Child of God, and your personal name. And for that reason, Christ died for you. To give you everlasting life and forgiveness of sins. And in that we give God grace, thanks, and praise for all of what He has given us. But that's not the end of the story either. When Christ took His disciples out through the brow of the mountain, and this is mentioned in Luke and the first chapter of Acts, when He ascended to God, His Father, He gave power to those disciples to bring that message of Jesus Christ to the world, to use them as His witnesses. Those who are giving testimony. So He gives us the power. He gives us the strength. He gives us the wherewithal to tell others about Jesus. Not just Easter, but every day of our lives. I often tell this illustration about how powerful you can be. Karen and I went to a restaurant in Red Wing one time. And I was sitting so I could see the entire restaurant. And the waitress brought out this blooming onion and put it in front of these four ladies, I think it was. And just as the waitress placed that plate down, these four ladies bowed their heads. And I would surmise they gave thanks to God for that meal that they were going to have. Another time we went to a restaurant in Red Wing, and Karen just kind of shook her head over, and here's this couple. They had their hands out to one another, and they had their heads bowed over the meal that they were receiving. A powerful illustration about how God uses you in the world to tell others about this great and awesome God that we have, this great and awesome Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead for you. God gives you that power. God gives you that strength. God gives you the message to tell others about Jesus, that He has risen from the dead, and He is living among us. In Christ's holy name, Amen.